Welcome to the Clover Tech Podcast Lounge, where our guest is always random and audience participation is required. Yes, that means you. So get those topics and questions locked and loaded. The lounge opens right now.
What is up, crew? It is September 21st, 2020, and welcome, first of all, anybody that is out there listening in replay, audio podcast form, all of that stuff, welcome. Welcome you guys in while the live chat is filling up out there, notifications are going out, all that good stuff is working. If you are here early or listening into that replay, then you've seen, heard that intro there, hopefully. Yes, everything has been rebranded. I've talked about it on a couple of other live streams, consolidating everything down because the format has been so weird, the names and everything else, more so in the audio podcast world because we have the After Hours chat, we have the Monday podcast, we have the Firearm Friday, and that's all different things. It's not really under any one umbrella. So now, instead of the Monday podcast, this is the Clover Tech Lounge. We've moved it from Instagram semi-permanently anyway over here on the YouTube side. Every week I will bring in some type of a guest at random to join me. We won't have a panel chat. We'll have a guest. And the biggest thing is your participation out there is required. We want your questions. We want your topics, your scenarios, your what ifs, your rabbit holes, whatever you can throw at us, throw them at us out there in the chat. I will try to keep up. That's one reason I've got a partner in crime with me here every week to give them the floor, let them talk a little bit, answer some questions, talk about some subjects. And while they're doing that, I can keep up out there in the chat. Speaking of that chat, let's say hey to those that I can see out there early, like Buck and Joe and G23 and Southpaw. And we've got, as I scroll down, the Iron Horseman is out there, Patriot in the Dark, Rod with the Gun Cleaners. What is up, Rod? 45 ACP. Also out there in the house, the Gun Snob, and they're piling in. So yeah, let's jump this one off. Let's get this one started. I will say that assuming that we can get out a little early, yes, we do keep these to an hour limit on Monday. But if you're out there, if you're listening, and yeah, not Hawk Medic, I see you out there too, as well as DTP in the house. But yeah, we try to keep these to an hour, keep them a little more consumable for those folks out there that want to listen and replay and that sort of stuff. But tonight at, what would it be, 9 Eastern time, we've got the executive chat over on Patreon. That's a private thing. If you are a Patreon patron of the, you know, the Clover Tech channel, first of all, thank you for that. Really do appreciate it. And one of the awesome perks that we have is we get together once a month. I kind of call my Patreon people my you know, executive board, my board of directors, and we have that private meeting, hangout, chat about the channel and just all kinds of other things. So you should find those links again if you are a Patreon patron over on Patreon or email me, whatever. But that will go up at 9 Eastern. So without further ado, my partner in crime this week, Mr. Charlie from Riding Shotgun with Charlie. What up, bro?
Ain't nothing going on but you, Clover Tech. Holy moly, dude. I have to say, I absolutely love the picture of you as Beavis and Butthead.
Like that?
I think it's great, man.
Well, you know, we renamed this the lounge. Or I did. We. Like I got a mouse in my pocket.
We. Yeah. Like, what are you, French? Yeah. We.
And I thought, you know, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, what am I going to do with, you know, working the intro? And I kind of wanted to do a montage of, obviously, of some videos, some different stuff. But I thought, you know, I really need something that kind of ties in the lounge, Chase Lounge, for example. And I got to thinking, I thought, man, I've got that thing that G-Webs did of me and Ghost as Beavis and Butthead. And I said, so that's kind of like a lounge. You're kind of lounging around there. So why don't I cut out Ghost and just put a question mark in his spot and use that. So I think it works.
That's cool.
Right.
That's awesome, man. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Now, I actually want to talk about you for just a minute. And again, out there, live chat, throw us down some rabbit holes. Give us some questions. If nobody comes up with anything in the next few minutes, I got a couple of, put a couple feelers out on the, the Cloverfield Facebook group, as well as over on Patreon. So we've got some topics that we'll discuss. But what I want to talk about for a quick minute, one thing that, you know, we had GRPC, the virtual GRPC this weekend. And one thing that I was super impressed with, I think, Charlie, your spot on the GRPC, your whatever you want to call that, I guess.
My video, yeah.
Time slot, your video. And if you guys haven't seen it, Riding Shotgun with Charlie, YouTube, he's got it up there. Probably the best way to find just that clip, because otherwise you're going to have to go through the entire GRPC over on the Second Amendment Foundation YouTube. But probably the best one in the entire virtual GRPC. I loved it, bro. It was awesome.
I am honored. I was actually just listening to the Polite Society podcast, just like they started an hour before we did, and they were talking about it, and they're like, you know, this was really good, but Charlie's was really, like, really cool. So for the people that haven't seen it, if you go to Riding Shotgun with Charlie, a YouTube channel, and you look for the GRP 2020 speech, you'll see it. It's about 4.5 hours long. What I did was I was the blogger vlogger of the year last year at Gun Rights Policy Conference, and I wanted to parlay that into something cool and big. And cool and big to me would be driving from Massachusetts all the way to Seattle and doing interviews along the way, going to historical sites, all sorts of stuff, and then working my way down to California. Chris Chang came up to me and said he wanted to be on the show, and working my way back through the Southwest and then through the South and working my way up the East Coast. And I didn't do what I needed to do to make it happen, if you know what I mean. So what I decided to do was I took a look at my map. I have a map on my wall with all the places that I wanted to go to with pins on them. And I decided that I had about 8 or 9 states that I haven't been to east of the Mississippi. So I decided to knock those states out. And I took a week-long trip. I drove from Massachusetts all the way down to Nashville. I did 2 shows in Nashville. I did a show in Birmingham. And then I filmed 4 shows in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. And what I did for my GRP speech is, you know, my car's my studio. So I made some video when I was driving down through Virginia. And I said, I'm going to make some – I knew I was going to be doing this, of course, but I did some video with the skylines of Nashville, Birmingham, and Atlanta behind me. And I put all of those together. I said a lot of the same stuff, so I had, you know, stuff to edit and material to edit and could bounce back and forth between them. And that's what I ended up doing. Oh, I also made a stop when I was looking at the map – I made a stop in Kennesaw, Georgia as well. I felt I needed to since I'm down there, I got to make a pilgrimage. So I'm glad to hear that everybody liked it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to put out, but I'm just going to do something. It's certainly going to be different than everybody else's.
Yep.
So yeah. I dig it, man.
Look out like a sore thumb, but in a good way.
Thank you, man.
Since we're on the GRPC, you know, I want to say, been a lot of conversation in the creator space, the creator world. And for those out there that are unaware of how it works and how it goes down, and Carly, I'll let you jump on in on your thoughts on this in just a second. But the firearm community, for example, when I do the CloverTech podcast or the Firearm Friday podcast, I say bringing together the industry and the community. And when we talk about the community is divided into so many sectors. You've got 2A activists, you've got 2A organizations, you've got 2A advocates, you've got instructors, competitors, just creators, you know, bloggers, writers, and even the creators you can whittle down to bloggers and writers and videographers or whatever you want to call it, and podcasters and so forth and so on. So you've got all of these various elements when it comes to the community. So, you know, to see something like with GRPC, most of the folks associated that speak with and everything else with the GRPC, you know, kudos for getting it online, for making it happen, for it being virtual. But I think why there was such a contrast with what your with your video and everybody else is that's kind of your space and creativity and what you do. And a lot of the lawyers or heads of the organizations or some of these activists and other things, you know, they don't really know the tech. They haven't bothered to learn the tech. They're comfortable in their own skin and with their own mechanisms. And they're sort of used to showing up at a live event. So would you think that it would be fair to say that maybe some of these people putting on a presentation, and that's kind of what I got with the feel with your presentation, is that for future virtual things, they need to up their game. I mean, 13-year-old girls are using these tools on the phone to make videos look a little more attractive and a little more entertaining, right?
Easy there. Yeah, I really think so. I mean, there were, first of all, I don't want to stick up for the lawyers. They do a good job of that themselves. A lot of the material is it's interesting, but it's dry material, and it's nothing against what these guys do because they're out there doing way more important stuff than you and I are doing. You know what I mean? They're laying it out for us and our kids' kids and everything, and they're doing all that sort of stuff. That they don't know how to work all that stuff. I get it. And that's fine. And that's cool. But yeah, they really do need to step up some stuff. Sometimes the lighting was bad. Sometimes the audio was bad. And believe me, I'm not a video and an audio guy. I'm just a guy that like, I bought two GoPros and stuck them on my car window and, you know, started from there. And, the GunGram videos I started making with an iPhone 4, you gotta learn a little bit about it. And actually, I don't know. You didn't attend AmCon the weekend before, did you?
I did not. I had no idea.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, what I did for AmCon is I was one of the 11 or 12 presenters that they had. Mm-hmm. I figured what I would do is I would tell people how to edit video on their phone. Because this is what I've been doing, and I've got over 250 gun grams that I have on YouTube. So I figured what I would do is I would make a gun gram and edit it and then do screenshots from my phone and turn that into a PowerPoint presentation. Mm-hmm. I've got an iPhone 7. I use iMovie for the gun grams. I did some B-roll movies, you know, or B-roll videos where first of all, the song I picked was Stayin' Alive by the Bee Gees. And I watched a Travolta video of this and it's little things that he does here and there, you know? So I tried to pick up on some of that. Like they start the video off and they show his feet while he's walking. So I'm like, I'm going to add that to it. And I can add some other stuff and I can tell people how they can add pictures in and they can add still videos and they can separate the video from the audio and they can put a different video in. So I have video of my feet while I still have the video from the trumpet, you know, the video or the audio from the trumpet playing. And that's what my whole speech was about for it was a 20-minute presentation. And we can all step it up with our phones. I tell people my phone is way more dangerous than any knife or gun that I carry. Mm-hmm. And we can all step it up, you know, and that's kind of what the GRPC video was about as well. You know, I filmed this in four or five different places and put it all together.
Right. Medics out there joining us. Rick White's out there as well. James Peller, and I see you out there. That Isle of Hatfield jumping in. So, yeah, Ghost Tactical out there. If you're out there, if you're in the chat, JMA, I see you out there. Wes is popping in. So, several of you out there say, hey, you're out there and assuming I see you or whatever. Again, you got topics, other things. There's been a couple thrown out there. We'll get to those probably here in just a minute. But going back and hopefully kind of tying up to this GRPC conversation and moving on. Yeah, I mean, some of the more boring elements, you know, the older writers, the older activists, the whatever. What do you think about this? What do you think about seriously some of these big 2A people utilizing the creator community, a relationship between them back and forth. You know, I know a lot of these folks, you know, a lot of these folks collectively, everybody knows everybody, right? So mm-hmm. Why not say, okay, so-and-so lawyer with so-and-so organization, you've got this speech, film your speech, get the raw video sent to this creator. They send it to me. And then while, I'll get it. And, you know, there's only so much you can do with it, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. But there's some things I can do to help with the lighting. There's some things I can do to help with the audio because I'm used to all of that editing. I can put in quick cuts. I can put in graphics, right? If you've got these people, what annoyed me is you had people that were looking at a screen, reading a script. It was obvious they were reading a speech, and they would talk about stats or they would talk about certain things. And I'm like, you know what? That's a prime opportunity for there to be a graphic on the screen, right? Or a picture, right? If they're talking about a certain city, show the skyline of that city. Something to mix it up, something to make it look a little more attractive and interactive.
That is, I love that idea. And I think it really is needed. There's people that do stuff that aren't presenters, or they're not, you know, like you said, creators or whatever you want to call it, artists or whatever. I mean, I hate to sound, you know, atsy fatsy, but there's a lot of things that they could be done. And there's AmCon talked a bit about this as well, about how people need to use better lighting, and you don't have to spend $3,500 on lights. I found this book. There's a store out here. It's basically a Salvation Army. It's a used experienced clothing store, and they have furniture and bikes and all sorts of crap. The only thing I go there for are books. And I found this book that was, I'm going to say it's 15 years old, maybe. It's at least 12 years old, and it's how to make better videos. And I'm like, yeah, it's $2. I'm not going to go wrong buying this. And then it said things like, you know, make sure there's more light in front of you than behind you. Make sure that the camera is higher than your nose so people don't look up your nose. You know, it's a bunch of little tips like that that really they really make your video presentation pop a lot more, makes them stick out.
Right. Now, if you're shooting at Blair Witch Project style, then up the nose would be fine, right?
Right. Right. But other than that, you know, there were plenty of people, and I'm certainly not, you know, thinking of anyone specifically, but there were plenty of people that you can see that they had the speech over to the right hand side. They would look at the camera, they would look at the speech, they would look at the camera, they'd look at the speech, and you're like, oh man. I'm not going to say it was torturous, but
if you had those people and you set them up ahead of time with a creator, right? Kind of like an adopt a creator program or something like that.
Oh, I love that. Adopt a creator.
Obviously, if these organizations would reach out to any of us creators, we could turn them on to any number of people that'd be willing to help. Then they could collaborate on how that needs to be filmed. And they can say, okay, when you film this, instead of reading it out, because we're going to edit it, right? We're going to put in jump cuts. We're going to edit. So instead of having to look off to the side constantly, memorize two or three sentences, look at the camera, say them. Take a pause, memorize two or three sentences, look at the camera, and say them. And the creators will fix all that in post. They'll make it smooth and fluid in post, right, by putting jump cuts in. And so I think it would just, like I said, that with potentially, you know, a little bit of audio in the background with potentially, you know, visuals up on the screen and things like that. I don't know. I think it would come together. I think it would come together really well. And so, you know, while it's good, like I said, that for a lot of these people, there's no doubt this was their first foray into the online world, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And for that, that's great. I mean, that has exposed it to them. They understand what it's out there. But the game has to be upped if they expect to get any type of traction. And the second thing I wanted your opinion on GRPC, and I talked about this with Big Tony Simon. I talked about this with the folks over there at Locked and Loaded Latinos. By the way, seeing G-Webs out there in the chat jumping in. Gizzard Gary, Laura is out there. Guns and Barbecue in the house. So, yeah, say hey if you're out there. But last thing, I talked to all of these different creators and stuff, and a lot of diversity, obviously, in the creators. And one thing that they had to say about GRPC, and I'm going to put it in my own words, and then I'd like to know your opinion on it. When we have GRPC and it's a local event, you got to travel somewhere. You've got to stay in a hotel. You've got all those travel expenses, so forth and so on. It's pretty much the hardened 2A guys, the hardened 2A activists and advocates and stuff like that attend an actual live GRPC event. When you go virtual, especially with the influx of all the firearm owners we've had in 2020. When you have a virtual thing, I think it needs to be tailored differently than, and we were talking about that with the content structure a little bit, but I think it needs to be tailored to a little bit different of an audience, because that live event being the hardened, you know, more hardened 2A people, mm-hmm. is kind of a saber rattling event within an echo chamber. Whereas when you have this online virtual event, you have the opportunity to bring in thousands and thousands and thousands of more people that may be on the fence. Maybe they're on just on the left side of the fence or the right side of the fence, the brand new firearm owner, people that are not going to spend the kind of money to go there. They may not even know what it is or be aware, but now it's been put out in front of them through promotion and other things. And all they've got to do is click on YouTube and watch. Right. So by having it in a way, and I understand with the organizations and the people, they get into a mode of speaking a certain way. You know what I mean? They've got the same stump speech and stuff like that. And I think a little more thought, and this may be where the creators come into play with being able to help with this, but I think that can be helped and mixed up a little bit where it doesn't seem quite so political. It doesn't seem quite so partisan. It's about freedom. It's about the Second Amendment. And I'll let you jump in. That was a lot to soak in, I know, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a great idea. The diversity panel, I don't, the last couple of years, the diversity panel is all, it's all Black people or African-American people. The women's panel are all women. And one of the things that came up with some of the people I was talking about is, okay, here's how we can make it more diverse instead of having the diversity panel where everyone's the same race. And we have the women's panel where everyone's a woman. Is not necessarily to break them up, but to break them up and maybe have a DC Project panel where it's just the DC Project ladies, but have like have there's plenty of female podcasters,
What are you going to speak on? Well, I'm going to speak on this. Okay. Well, we've got a Black activist here. We've got a Latino activist. We got a woman. Let's put them on this panel talking about this specific issue. Right. And so by proxy, you get the diversity, but it's not in your face announced as a diversity panel or a women's panel. Right. Because we don't put ourselves, and we're not supposed to anyway, right? Put ourselves in all these boxes. Right. We're all supposed to be, you know, freedom loving 2A people. Right. So portray it in where it's about the issue, not about the color of the person or the sexual orientation of the person. But let that be apparent from the people you have speaking, the diversity of the people you have speaking, that, you know what, that's we do have diversity. People are going to see that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I think Tiffany Johnson, she's an African-American woman. I think she's from Tennessee. She would probably be a great person to have on with the attorneys. You know, one of my heroes, Amanda Suffacool, she would be awesome on probably almost any panel. But she's doing a boatload of stuff in the new media. She's got a radio show and she's on with the Polite Society podcast and stuff. I don't want to lose my spot, but she should be on with the new media as well, instead of having her be on the women's panel that just go up and talk about women's stuff too. So to take these people and put them in with all the old white guys would certainly, it's not just saying, hey, we're diverse. We have a group of women and we're going to have them all speak at one time. It's going to be, hey, we've got this group and there's a white guy and there's a Black guy and there's a homosexual guy and there's a Latino person in this group as well. And just put them in with the rest of the folks. And I know that sounds horrible, but you know what I mean? That would be a great idea. That would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some little things, like I said, it's a start. Got the first one, you know, the first virtual GRPC under the,
I'm going to mention to some people and say, hey, listen, talk about setting someone up with the creators and maybe having a list of, hey, in order to make your videos better, here's a checklist. You know, put the light in front of you and have a good microphone. And it's not even having a good microphone. You don't have to spend anything on, you don't have to spend much on anything. I was a little bummed with my video because I tried to find, I actually went and bought some cheap wireless AirPods, you know, generic AirPods. And I was hoping I could use those as a microphone, and that didn't work. Then the I was in Pennsylvania someplace, and I picked up a like a long cable to connect my phone, my earbuds to my phone, or my wired earbuds to the phone, and that didn't work the way I wanted to. So if I would have spent $30 on a little microphone, I'd have a six and a half foot cable, and you know, it would have picked up my voice. And yeah, this is what I learned after I got back. But it doesn't take much to up the game a little bit. And I'm going to try to mention this to some folks. That would be way cool.
And I think so too. And I mean, not in a degrading way. I mean, I don't want to crap all over, you know, anything. Anybody.
Oh, absolutely not.
I know that, and you know, and from a creator, you know, when you do what we do, right, from that creator space, we always see room for improvement, just like you talked about on your microphone just there, right? We always see improvement in how we can improve on what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so that when you go from a live setting into, you know, an online setting, that's all we're saying, or that's all I'm saying anyway, is when you move into that, there's only so much you can do live, right? The room, the audio system in the room, so forth and so on. When you're presenting it virtually and you can pre-record that, there's a whole lot of thought and planning and tweaking and polishing that can be done. And
oh, so yeah, absolutely.
Why not maximize that effort?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we got kind of moving on here. And by the way, throw the, like I said, guys, throw topics and questions and suggestions and whatever else out there. Still got plenty of time to chat here. We had Nighthawk Medic up here in the chat talking about some of these court cases. And I don't know if you followed any of that. I haven't followed that closely. Did anyone else find themselves furious that people admitted to double billing legal hours to accomplish one task? Why wouldn't you sue to have the range both indoor and outdoor opened in one suit? What he says. Have you followed any of that, Charlie?
So I will completely admit, when the attorneys get up, that's when I find other stuff to do, like go back to my room and take a nap.
I kind of gloss over.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have something to eat now. Isn't it time for me to do laundry? I got to change out the, you know, put the stuff in the dryer. I kind of leave that stuff to those guys because it is kind of dry, and I don't keep up with all of that stuff like as much as I should. Mm-hmm. So I can't be as much of a, I can't speak knowledgeably about it.
Right. Well, I can't either. And so I'm going to speak and then to tell Medic out there in the chat, but you know, I'm going to speak to some of these lawsuits in general. You know, I've told people, I mean, I sought to be a justice of the peace, there for a long time, was going to, and then I went down the YouTuber road instead, thinking that I still had plenty of time in my life to do, you know, the justice of the peace thing if I wanted to, simply because I like the legal system and I've never really buckled down and tried to go 8 years or whatever to law school, not to mention come up with the money to pay for that. Mm-hmm. So you know, the next best thing is to, you know, sit on a JP bench. But so I've always paid attention to the law. I like the law, representing myself and other people in court on occasion with some different things, not criminal. Haven't been in trouble where I've had to do that. So don't spread that bad rumor around. But civil litigation anyway. And so one thing that just from having that background and going through all that I see with a lot of these, I'm sure all kinds of court cases, not just 2A cases. But you know, you look at them and, you know, some of these lawyers, I think, are, their hands get tied in a way because there's certain courts that have such weird procedures and stuff that have to be followed. And then depending on how said legislation or whatever is written, right? You have to go about a certain way to attack it. And there's so much complexity. I've heard of cases getting thrown back just because the amicus brief or whatever wasn't filed in the right font, you know.
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, that's silly. So I think when you talk about you just walk away, I mean, that makes sense because it's just so complex a lot of times that we make it easy and we say, well, why did they screw up this or why did they screw up that or why did this happen? And
it's like the tax code. You know, literally, it's like the income tax code. There's just so it's so complex. It's more complex than it needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, the attorneys get paid what, $300 an hour. They should be able to know all this stuff. They should know which font to use. This is what we pay them $300 an hour for. You know,
right? You would think.
Real quick, Shooting Gallery New England. Jason wants to know, when's the next time I'm doing a Utah class at Cape Gunworks? I'm actually doing one tomorrow down at Cape Gunworks, and I'm doing one, I think, on a Wednesday in October. So that's what I got, man. And if I'm doing a class on a weekend, we might have to get together so I can have you ride shotgun. Absolutely.
Yep. That would be a good one.
Cool. Sorry.
So I got a question earlier. I've got a couple, and not anything out there in the chat. Again, send us down some rabbit holes if you guys want to. This was kind of a funny one. This guy was being silly, but you know what? Let's dive off this diving board, right? He said, "Who wins between a matchup between the My Little Ponies and the Care Bears?"
My Little Ponies and the Care Bears. How old is this guy that he knows about these?
Apparently, he's a brony. I guess I'm a brony. I'm okay with that. So I got grandbabies, so they like the My Little
Ponies. Wow. So let's see the My Little Ponies and the Care Bears, huh? The My Little Ponies have strong legs, and I think they could kick the bears.
Yeah, but the Care Bears have the Care Bear stare, though.
Oh, they have a Care Bear stare.
So I think, yeah. So, you know, I think if it's one-on-one, I think maybe, because I think maybe the My Little Pony could outrun and or, yeah, jump or kick, right?
Yeah.
So I think one-on-one they would have an advantage. But if you've got a group of Care Bears that do the Care Bear stare.
Oh, yeah, diversity of, what do we call it there? Disparity of power?
I'm not real sure. But what do you call a herd of bears? Does anybody know?
Bears?
A bunch of horses is a stable, right? It's a stable of horses.
I've never been stable. I don't know.
Or is it a herd? Or is a horse also a herd, like wild horses?
Herd of horses? Yeah, of course I've heard of horses.
I know you've heard of horses.
Oh my God. You know, hey, when I was, when all this pandemic stuff was going on, I found a speakeasy and it was called Karma, and they didn't have menus because you got what you deserved. Mm-hmm.
Oh, G-Webs out there has said that you get a chance to meet and chat with Jim Irvine.
Oh, my God. To go flying with Jim Irvine? I would love to go flying with Jim Irvine. That would be so cool.
Flying shotgun with Charlie, he says.
Flying shotgun. That's great. I actually met a guy. His name is Chet. He's in New Jersey, and he flies a helicopter. And I actually found this out on September 11th. He was one of the news reporters flying a helicopter for one of the news places. But I'm like, yeah, Chet, let's get in a helicopter, man. Like that would be totally cool.
Now, was he in NYC flying the news?
I think he was like a pilot for the traffic. And when they were up in the air, they're like, all right, hey, we're gonna have to go somewhere else, and they got a bunch of footage. It was the news reporter, Chet, the pilot, and the cameraman.
So they didn't, when they grounded everything,
they were up, there was a whole news story on this that he put on his Facebook page a few weeks ago. And I'm going to say he was in the air for like 10 hours that day until they finally said, look, we need to get all the airplanes out.
Yeah. Right. Cleared out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? G-Web wants to, I'm going to see if I can. Get Jim Irvine and go flying.
That would be good. Now, have you had him in the car? Have you had an interview with him at all?
I have not. No. Yeah. I mean, the list of people, I love that people want to come riding shotgun and be in the passenger seat, but, you know, getting two people is timely and costly, you know?
Right. Well, and hopefully that's something that we can work on a little bit moving forward. I know in the pre-chat, we were talking about some things. Have you got a Patreon set up?
I do not have a Patreon. You've told me a number of times that I need to do it. And up until up until I got some stickers a week ago. And I have G-Web has been generous enough to add me to the list of the 2020 patch batch. Right. So I'm going to have some patches coming, which can help fund some trips.
Right. Well, before you leave, when we get off tonight, hang around because I got a question and I don't want to ask it live because it has a financial thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Just remember, stick around and say, hey, what did you want to ask me? Hopefully I'll remember.
All right.
Hopefully. I had another question come in, and this one is more geared toward the election and the possibility of craziness going on, you know, either way the election goes. And it's not political or anything, but the guy was talking about, preparedness. You know, we can call it prepping. We can call it whatever. Is that anything that are you into preparedness and keeping certain things around and that sort of thing, just in case?
You know, I used to want to. When my kids were young and I lived in a house and I was married, I wanted to do all that. And I had no idea what to do, so I would just buy extra water and crackers and soup.
There you go.
And I think like a box of matches, you know, like one of those big packs of the stick, you know, the stick matches that are Strike Anywheres. And that was it. And then people, you know, then I got into gun stuff and people like, oh, you've got guns. If something bad happens, we're going to come over to you. And my shtick has been the same thing. Whenever somebody says they're going to come over to my house because something bad happens and I've got guns, I pat them on the stomach. I say, fatten up because I'm going to shoot you and eat you.
Right. Or you better bring your own food, you know?
Right. Like, what are you bringing to the game here?
Or at least your gardening utensils or something.
Something.
You're going to be put to work in the garden, growing it or you know, something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It's not a big deal. I mean, when the cough, you know, happened and everybody ran out of toilet paper, you know, we had just been shopping like the week before and a lot of people asked, you know, hey, what's the situation like with you? And, you know, we are, you know, from the nearest little bitty grocery store, you know, 20 minutes away or something.
Yeah.
And so easily. And so, you know, what we do is we usually will buy stuff. So, you know, we don't have to make trips into town very often, that kind of thing. And opportunistic also buy it on sale. So like the big, huge, I don't even know how many rolls it is, 48 rolls or 20.
48 rolls. What are you, a hoarder? Holy moly. You might need to talk to a doctor about that, man.
48 rolls. It may not be, it may be 24, but that's a big old pack of toilet paper. So I'd be willing to bet it's like 36 or 48. Anyway, you know, they'll go on sale for like buy one, get one free occasionally.
Oh my God.
And just so happens before all that started rolling out that we were doing our shopping and, you know, it was buy one, get one free. And we bought two. So that lasted forever. We've dry canned stuff for years. You know, keep dry goods, keep things, you know, stocked up and all that stuff. So, I hear you. I mean, you do what you can, right?
Absolutely.
But the point is, I think to make sure you have that before it gets bad, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, when you're a kid and you're working at a fast food place, the managers always tell you have to rotate the stock. So when I do buy stuff, you know, the new stuff goes to the back and the old stuff comes to the front. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, buy soups you eat, buy things that you consume. And then that way you can, yeah, rotate it out. But I'm telling you, canned stuff, I mean, kept in a cool, dry place and so, assuming the cans don't rust or get dented or damaged and stuff like that, go way beyond their expiration date.
Oh, way sure.
And even dry goods do well. I can tell you for a fact that Cheerios that are roughly 3 or 4 months out of date, you can throw those in the oven on a low temperature for a few hours, and they don't taste any different than they did when they were fresh.
Is this what you do for the grandkids when they come over?
Well, no, but we kind of learned that when we were dry canning and doing some other stuff.
So, gotcha.
you know, buy cereals on sale and dry can. Dry can's an easy way. Invest in some mason jars. I like the mason jar idea over the, you know, they do have the vacuum seal bags and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The problem that you get into with vacuum seal is rodents and different things like that. You put that stuff in a, you put stuff in a mason jar and seal it up, and you know, you really don't got to worry about pests and rodents and insects or,
yeah,
you know,
bugs getting into it. Yeah.
Anything of that nature. Nothing's going to be able to get into it. So
let me ask you this. While you're talking about, you know, little small uninvited creatures in the house. A few years ago in my pantry, I had some mice, and I'm a glue trap guy. So I would put the glue traps out, and if I found, you know, I'd look in the pantry every day to see if anything was in there. And if I found a mouse that was stuck there, I would leave the bastard there. Uh-huh. Because I wanted all his other mice friends to come over and see his dead body and be like, hell, we're getting the hell out of here.
I don't know that mice mourn their dead. Do they? Anybody out there know that? Live chat. Question for the live chat. There's somebody out there that's up on,
do mice know they're dead?
Mises, I suppose. No, not that they know they're dead, but do they mourn their dead? Is what I said.
Do they mourn their dead?
TPC, I see, jumped in out there. So did R4. What's up, guys? But yeah, I know for a fact that crows mourn their dead. And the reason I know this is I've got an acquaintance, let's call him. I guess you could say he's a friend, that one of his favorite pastime is shooting crows. And not counting crows, that's a rock band. yeah, shooting crows. And he's like, yeah, he said, man, he said, you can shoot one. He said, and usually it'll run the rest of them off. And especially if you're able to shoot them suppressed, he said, it works even better. He said, but you can shoot one and the others will actually come back and congregate around the one. They will come back and have almost like a little funeral for the one that's dead. He said, it's weird. He said, you can pick off three or four more when they come back.
That that's only mildly creepy that the birds do that. So Guns and Barbecue says he hates glue traps. He has several rodents that chew off their own feet. I've had a couple of them do that, and I leave the feet in the glue as well.
Yeah.
So
we primarily use the ones that you can hear all the way across the house when they go off. The old school, man.
Oh, like, man.
Snap! You know, it's like, yep, got one. And yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
You know, We, you know, that's one thing with around here, and people freak out, you know, living in country life's a lot different than city life, but you know, around here, the grass in the yard, like the immediate, like around the house, right, stays mowed pretty good. Good Lord, if I could mow it plumb down to the root, I'd be happy.
They call it dirt, don't they?
mow it with a bulldozer. You know what I mean? I cut it as low as I can possibly cut it, but keep all that cut. But the outer parts, the, you know, what we call the fields or whatever, and they're not, but, the big patches of land on the outskirts of the property, that stuff sometimes will grow up and we just kind of let it, we don't worry about it too much. We live out in the country. It's not that huge of a deal. And one thing that does here with, when you're talking about mice and stuff, is that allows them a place to stay that they don't have to come in the house.
Very strategic.
And so coming across the short grass, you've got hawks and owls and, you know, other things that it's not as easy to traverse that. Plus having that stuff in the outskirts, you have other animals that will eat the mice, like snakes, for example. Right. So I don't freak out too much. Now, when I had little kids, I would freak out about snakes a little bit, no matter what kind of snake it was. I've gotten, though, now that I don't have little kids around anymore, that, you know, may decide to pick one up or get too close to it or whatever, and not know what it is, that, you know, I don't worry about snakes unless it's a venomous snake. And there's only a couple, you know, here that we really got to worry about that you see that are venomous. And, so if you've got a pretty healthy, you know, rat snake, king snake, chicken snake type population, you know, a few of those around on your property, they'll take care of the mice for you pretty well. Usually, stray cats and things like that will too. If you've got, you know, feral cats. I'm not a big fan of feral cats though.
Well, the Chinese place will take care of them too. You got any of those?
Well, you know, you joke, but one county over, one county over, there was a and I don't know the particulars. I just read the article and it didn't get specific. But there was a Chinese buffet that got shut down by the health department, and one of the things they found was dead cats in the freezer.
Whew, you know, I always told people I'm not a pet person, and I'm not a pet person because usually in my life I'll, you know, get up in the morning to go to work and don't come back until after dinner time. I have some long days, you know, with all the stuff. And so I'm not a pet person. But I've had a lot of people say, oh, you should get a cat. It's low maintenance. And I'm like, look, if I ever get a cat, I'm going to name it General Gao. Right. You know, I don't. Right. Yeah, I guess I should not be surprised. We should not be surprised.
Now, maybe, you know, I'm not pointing fingers. All I did was read the article. Maybe they were doing Chinese buffet and taxidermy for all I know. It's possible. I've seen crazy things. I've seen burger joints and chainsaw shops. I've seen, you know, clothing store boutique and lawnmower repair. I've seen a lot of weird things.
Right. So
it certainly happened.
It's not that far fetched. Crazier things have happened.
Right. Yeah, Jonathan Barbecue says feral cats decimate wild bird population. Yes, they do. And you know, when I'm talking about feral cats, I'm talking about, you know, house cats that have been dumped or whatever, you know. And one thing about cats that people don't realize, cats are one of the quickest animals to go wild.
Really?
To go feral. Yeah. Yeah. If you've got a, and I actually witnessed this. So again, when I had kids here, we had some outdoor cats. And cats are kind of a love the one you're with type animal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the population kind of grew, and I noticed that when we first started and we had like two or three outdoor cats, and the kids would play with them, and every now and then I would feed them. But of course they brought little snakes and lizards and mice and all kinds of things and left them on the doorstep. Right. These cats actually did hunt stuff and keep things taken care of. And every now and then I would feed them, but I didn't feed them constantly. Right. They were going to earn their keep. And so, but, you know, when the kids were outside playing, they would play with the kids in the yard and stuff like that. Well, as those bred and we had new generations of kittens and other things, and my kids got older and played with them less and things like that, I noticed that it got to the point you couldn't even, you know, when I decided to finally get rid of them all, the younger ones were so skittish, you couldn't get nowhere near them. I mean, they were completely just...
Wow.
It was crazy. Yeah. And that's one of the things when they talk about it, it sounds bad, but when they talk about the old lady that has all the cats and, you know, dies in her sleep one night or whatever, that's one of the stories you hear is that, you know, first of all, the cats have to eat something. Right. But then
second, eating the old lady.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
But seriously, dude. And I've heard several stories from local, you know, EMS, local, you know, law enforcement, whatever around here, that kind of thing has happened, especially, you know, old ladies living out in the country or whatever, right? I mean, sometimes it may be days or weeks before anybody realizes anything. You know, she didn't show up for church for 2 weeks in a row, two Sundays in a row, and then somebody's worried about her, and it turns out, good Lord, she's been passed away in her sleep for 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks or a week or whatever. And, but anyway, they'll go in, and those cats are terrible, you know. And they were house pets. They were house cats. Wow. And everything. But they're just pissing and scratching and skittish and everything else. And just in a matter of a week or two. So,
well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
There's
I'm not a big cat person.
You know? Yeah. We had, you know, I got bit by a dog when I was a kid. Like a young kid. And so I'm not a dog fan. And we had a cat named Rocky, and he would just sit on the steps and just look at us as we, you know, we're like, move, Rocky. And he'd just sit there, and we had to step over him. It was a big pain in the ass.
Right. Yeah. I have never been bit. I can't tell you the number of times I've been to people's houses and you know, I show up and here comes a dog, you know, out to the, and a lot of times they'll be barking and growling, but I'll talk to them, you know, or whatever. I'll stick out my hand. I'll talk to them. And, you know, I'll walk up to the porch and I'm petting it and whatever, you know, it's walking beside me and I'll knock on the door and they'll open the door and that dog's sitting there and I'm rubbing its head or I'm rubbing its belly or something. And they're like, oh, hey, come on in. And they're like, I can't believe that dog didn't eat you alive. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, we normally, when we have company, we have to lock him up or lock her up. And I'm like, you know, he growled at me a little bit, but I stuck my hand out and I, you know,
this is what you do. You know, we had, when my kids were young, we, down the road from us, there was a neighbor that had a dog and the dog's name was Kirby, and Kirby chased after the kid next to us and, you know, bit him in the leg or something. So we were going to their house for something and my daughter's like, Dad, don't go to their house. Kirby bites people. And I got down close to my daughter and knelt down. I said, sweetheart, don't worry about Kirby. If Kirby bites your dad will bite Kirby. And she's like, no, Dad. So we went to the house and she's standing behind me and they open the door and I bend down. I'm like, hi, Kirby. And I let him sniff my hand and Kirby turned around and walked away. I said, see, sweetheart, I had to let Kirby know that I would bite him. And that was it, you know?
Right. Yeah, sometimes getting down on their level helps.
Yeah, sure. It does. It does.
So I think we're going to start tying this one up. Here, guys, because for those that come in late, we do have a Patreon executive chat. So jump over on Patreon. Email me, media@clovertac.com. If you are a Patreon patron and for whatever reason you don't have access to that, we're going to hang out over there in the executive chat at the top of the hour. Before we do close this out, got a few more things that I do want to talk about. Before I get to that, though, I want to give Charlie a second here at the end. Talk about some of his projects. So go ahead, Charlie, get after it.
All right. Well, Riding Shotgun with Charlie is an interview show where I talk to people as we drive around the country. The people that watch the show, they are just a fly on the rearview mirror. Tomorrow, my 84th show is coming out. My 84th passenger is Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. I was down in Georgia at the end of August, and you know, Mark was a big influence on me, and he's the guy that invited me to hang out with the cool people at the Gun Rights Policy Conference. So I had to let him know I was in the area, and he's like, "Hey, come on by, let's do a show." So that's coming out tomorrow. The Riding Shotguns. I've actually got some stickers. So if people go to RidingShotgunWithCharlie.com, they can find those under the swags and merch. I've got some stickers that I'm trying to sell to help help me get across the country. And I'm going to have some patches soon from G-Webs, from him with the 2020 patch batch. Yeah, so check out the show. I put the show on YouTube, on GunStreamer. You can watch it at those two places. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and on Spotify. So please check it out. Like it, share it. I got a Facebook page. Yeah, please, 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 please. More people, the better.
Well, I'd much rather be a fly on the rearview than a fly on the windshield. That doesn't sound good. You worded that correctly, man. So thanks for jumping on, Charlie. And again, hang around for a little while, cause I do want to talk to you in after chat for just a second. For everybody else, thanks for hanging out. I mean, this is the first, not the first Monday podcast, obviously, that we've had. I'm continuing the episodic, whatever numbers for all of this. But the branding around it and kind of the style and the feel, is going to change for those that come in late. We got an intro, we got an outro. We'll have a, guest, a cohort, to steal a phrase, somebody riding shotgun, a partner in crime every week on here. And, of course, everything is still the same, cause we'll talk about your topics. We'll answer your questions. And we'll do all of that. Thursday night, going to change around again. As far as I know, After Hours is changing. This one is changing from the Monday podcast, obviously, to the CloverTac Podcast Lounge. Thursday will change from After Hours to the CloverTac Podcast Studio. Also, the time slot will change on Thursday. We're going to go from 11 Eastern We're going to bump that down to 9 Eastern. Get things knocked out a little bit early for those like myself that have started to go to bed a little bit earlier. And then Fire on Friday is just going to be the CloverTac podcast. And instead of those shows releasing every Friday, those are going to release at random. And they're also going to be a little shorter format. Typically with those previous Fire on Fridays, I've tried to get a minimum of 45 minutes. Most of the time they go well over an hour. With the new format, the CloverTac podcast, we're going to shoot for around a half hour on those. So, again, thanks for hanging out for those folks live tonight. If you're listening in replay, you've made it all the way through. As always, bless you on that. And remember that you can communicate, ask questions, chat, continue the conversation down in the comments below. So we'll see you next week, guys, on the CloverTac podcast lounge. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for hanging out in the CloverTac Podcast Lounge. Be sure to check out CloverTac.com for social media links, swag, and more. If you'd like to support our projects, win cool prizes, and get more content, consider checking out Patreon.com/CloverTac.